Because as I get older, I trust fewer and fewer things. The amount of things I believe has gone down radically throughout my lifetime. But the one thing I do believe is that the Bible is true. And I can believe the Bible. I believe little else these days. But if you were to find your answer in the Bible, you'd start by opening to Genesis page 1. And you'd find out that God is the creator. That God made our world and universe in 6 days. And he made it as a good, in fact, very good world. So, we know that God is creator. We know God made a good earth. He then told us, fill the earth and subdue it. This is your job. I want there to be a lot of people. I want you to take this earth and extend my kingdom. That's your job. I've given you a beautiful earth, and now I'm going to make you a wonderful garden. You can eat all these trees anytime you want. The fruit, take it. It's yours. I just say, one tree, don't touch. Or excuse me, don't eat. We'll get back to that later. Don't eat this fruit from one tree in the world. Genesis 3. Let's begin reading. Now the serpent, Revelation tells us, this was Satan, was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Now the fall has three distinct downward moves. It's very clear what is on Satan's mind. And the first thing he wants to do is to sow doubt. He doesn't want a full conflict. He doesn't want an argument. Just wants you to think about some stuff for a while. Did God really say this? That you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? So the first step of doubt is to wonder if God is trustworthy. Does he tell us the truth? Is he? Really? When nobody's watching, when you're not at church, when you're reading your Bible at home, and Balaam's donkey talks to him, what do you think about them? Do you believe the Bible or not? You know, it claims to be true, which is astonishing. Many books do not. The Bible claims to be true. It demands it. You either believe it or you do not. You can't play games with this. You cannot pick and choose. You either believe or you do not. You don't get to pick and choose, because if you pick and choose, you said no. He can't be trusted. Did God really say? And then he questions God's character. Specifically, is God good? I had a good friend of mine who once told me, the main question in life is whether or not God is good. And he's got something there. Because most people, and I would suggest everyone, believes in God. Just be on an airplane when it's going to crash. Find out how many true atheists are there. But who is God? What's he like? Does he care for us? And is he good? Because when I look around, that's not what I see. Is it? Is it good that we have two wars? Is it good that we abort children? Is it good that we hate each other? No. But God is in control. Is God good? Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden." But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And here the second step is distortion. You see, Eve does not correctly quote what God said. What God said was actually quite different. If you look back in Genesis 2, what God said was, "You may surely eat," or "freely eat." Not just that you can. "I've made everything else in the world for you to freely enjoy." "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Said nothing about touching it. You could touch it, lest you die. But God said, "Surely die." So she doesn't get God's word right. She distorts it. Now, an interesting question here is, who dropped the ball? Adam, who received the command, did he not teach Eve correctly? Or did Eve not pay attention? Or a combination of both? And guys, it's good we don't know. We don't need to know that. That's not helpful to us. Because you can always blame someone else. The question for you is this. Do you know the Bible well enough to not distort it when things get tough? That's not your pastor's fault if you don't. It's not that you didn't go to Bible school. I know a lot of people that went to Bible school and got worse. It's you. This is your responsibility. No one else's. No pastor can ever do this for you. No church can ever do it for you. People who know their Bibles well know them because they choose daily to make that a priority. There's no other way. This is what God requires. Do you do it? And let me tell you guys, it's going to get tough. I pray it doesn't. There may be a reformation. I hope that happens. But the trend line, my friends, is down. Biblical knowledge and the passion to oppose biblical knowledge. You know what's happening. Very few people know God's word. A whole lot more people are opposed to scriptural teaching. Are you ready for this? Because Satan knows how to distort the word. It worked for Adam and Eve. It didn't work for Jesus. And never forget, in the incarnation, Jesus was a man who was also God. We emphasize the God side, and that's good. But don't forget, Jesus had to study the Bible, just like you and me. And he was ready. Are you? Because your pastor is not always going to be around. Your Bible school diploma is going to be one of the first things to burn. And you know that in the quiet moments, when it's just you and the world, it's what you've got in your head and heart that matter. Distortion. And it's fascinating that Eve, she makes God less gracious. I can't just eat it, I can't touch it. Love those little rules. God's a God who just loves to make life more difficult. Gives you lots of little rules to do stuff. And she totally misses the world that God gave her. But the third downward step is direct. Finally, denial. But the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." God's lying. He's wrong. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. God's word's not true. It's just not true. As a matter of fact, disobeying God is where the good stuff is. God doesn't want you to have fun. You're going to wait until you're married to have sex? Like, how stupid is that? We have birth control. Have fun. Come on. God doesn't want you to have fun. And you know, take any sin, overeating, moderation is boring. Just have more and more and more. Because you know, the way God wants stuff is, it's not that great. Those people are having the fun. It's not true. If you talk to the prodigal son when he still had money and said, "So what do you think of your father's teaching now?" He said, "My father's an idiot. He's wrong. Sinning is fun. I'm having a great time." Denial. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to now have a red pill moment. One of my other favorite movies is The Matrix. The red and the blue pill. A red pill moment. Here it is. "For the wages of sin is death." Do you believe that? Are you sure? You know, we say it so often. Familiarity breeds contempt. It does. So let's think about this for a while. I think a lot of people believe that the wages of sin should be a slap on the wrist. Death is a bit severe, don't you think? Many people believe that the wages of sin is a little while in hell. That's okay, as long as you can get out. But let's test this idea. Imagine a man lived a perfect life. And one day he's at a gas station, been there, used it his whole life, spent tens of thousands of dollars at this gas station. And he's walking out of there at the store, and he's getting old and he feels hungry. Long line, he doesn't want to deal with that. So he steals a candy bar. Should that man go to hell? Take the same man. Let's not even make it an action. As he walks out of that gas station, he sees a woman. She's beautiful. And for a moment he thinks, man, I wish I would have married her. I'd had such a great life. Should he go to hell? See, God is not like us. Oh, hear me on this. Psalm 50:21. You thought I was altogether like you. Isn't that amazing? You think I'm like you, but I'm not. God is not like us. And when God talks about not using his name in vain, you know when I hear that, it just sends me. When people call God the big man upstairs. Have you ever heard this? And please, if you say this, stop. I beg you. God is not just a more powerful human. Mormonism is your faith, if that is your belief. God is not like us. He is thrice holy, perfect, all powerful. These things we cannot even imagine. When people see God in the Bible, they say things like, wow, his train filled the temple. He had a really big robe on. Because we can't describe him. He is not like us. And I love this quote. It's not exact. I heard it in just... It's like this. We can't stare at the sun, even though it's 93 million miles away, without us going blind. And yet we imagine we're going to stroll casually into God's presence. I cringe when people say to me, yeah, when I die, I got something I'm going to say to God. You have no idea. You just have no idea. The wages of sin is death, is truth from God that is at the foundation of this creation. Now, to get a hold of death, you need to know two concepts. Here we go. Death means separation and the inability to respond. This is what death is. Okay? You say, what is death? Death is separation. When we die, separation of our physical and spiritual aspects, parts. God put Adam together as a body and a spirit, and we were to stay that way before sin. But now, because of sin, those aspects are separated. Separated. And that causes inability to respond. Our human bodies no longer respond. And so now when the Bible says we're dead to God, it means we're separated from Him and we cannot respond to Him. So what happens to Adam and Eve? Fascinating. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Wow. And they knew that they were naked. The end of Genesis 2, Adam and Eve were naked, completely unashamed, both figurative and literal. There was nothing they needed to hide. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. See, the best lie is a partial truth. Do you know that? If you want to lie, just tell a little bit that's true. Then fit your lie in. Because sin is a corruption of what is good. You can learn the wrong things. Can you not? Let's go back to sex before marriage. Will people who enjoy that have a little bit of a good time? Will their relationship experience some sort of change and growth in some ways? Yes. But is that God's intention? No. But do you see the death has started? They hid. The wages of sin is being paid. Adam and Eve are now separated. We all know this. No matter how good human love is, and it can be quite good, it's never quite right. It's never enough. There's always a little wrong. A little bit we need to hide. A little bit we're not fully together. So they were separated from each other. But then verse 8, and then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid from God. This is what we do. We hide from God. It's our natural instinct. You bring God up to a fallen person, and they're like, whoa, man. Let's talk about the football game. This is why we're messed up. Adam and Eve, our original father and mother, walked away from God. and the sons and daughters of Adam since then have followed. There is no other explanation for why we are the way we are. We're incurably religious and want nothing to do with God. How else could we be this way? But verse 9. And this picture is just, it's beyond amazing to me. Here Adam and Eve just walk away from God. Don't do what he says. Don't honor his goodness. Do none of that. Verse 9. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He sought them. God came to them. And his first response was not, "You stupid, sinful people. Well, that was a dumb thing for you to do. Don't you know I'm good?" No. He comes normally in the cool of the day and says, "Where are you? And the Bible paints this picture constantly. We're running as far away from God as God chases us. What did Christ teach? He's the good shepherd. He leaves the 99 that are found to seek the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. Amen. Yeah. I'm happy God's that way. Because I was going to hell for sure. No doubt about that. I sinned a lot. Where are you?" This message is about the problem. I'm going to come back next Sunday and talk about the answer. Because what God does to seek and find us is beyond explanation. God came to us not just in the garden. He became a man. He came to us to live with us, to experience what it's like to be us, and then die. Unbelievable. Father, thanks for your word. Lord, help us to submit to its truth. Joyfully, lovingly bind ourselves to your word and its infinite wisdom and truth. And thank you that you're a God who seeks us. Without this, we would be lost and we wouldn't even know it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.